The final candidate for the honorary degree will be presented by Dean Litzinger of the School of Arts and Sciences.
Very Reverend Father President, in the name of the Board of Trustees, the administration and faculties of all the schools of St. Bonaventure University, we present as a candidate for the honorary degree of Doctor of Laws our commencement speaker, a distinguished gentleman who has endeared himself to generations of Americans. He is a man to whom many honors have justly come. The Tom Dooley Award, the Peabody Award, the B'nai B'rith Award, the Pachamin Terrace Medal, a number of honorary degrees, and citations from four successive presidents of the United States are only a few of the 800 recognitions he has been formally given. Although the linear distance from Eltham, England, where he was born, to Cleveland, Ohio, where he was raised and educated, to Hollywood, California, where he and his family now live, although this distance is less than 6,000 miles, his path of life has had its turnings, and he has become a citizen of the world. Hundreds of performances in vaudeville and on Broadway, 1,000 radio shows, 6 books, 53 movies, and 250 television appearances have made him famous as a comedian and an entertainer, and his name has become as familiar to us as his wit, his voice, and his noble nose. His road has stretched over 6 million miles of travel to entertain American troops through 3 decades at hospital and military bases here and abroad, to give benefit and charity performances on every continent for humane causes. Whether in sponsoring golf tournaments for charities, or in raising $2 million in a single evening for a medical center, or in 100 nameless acts of generosity, he has always remembered the needs of his fellow men. If Chesterton was right in asserting that humor is a uniquely human speciality, then our candidate, by combining the gift of humor with the greater gifts of generosity and personal concern, has through a long career demonstrated a supreme humanity. In recognition of his achievements, we respectfully ask that the degree of Doctor of Laws honoris causa be conferred upon Mr. Leslie Towns Bob Hope.
In the name of St. Bonaventure University, and in virtue of the powers conferred upon this institution by the Board of Regents of the State of New York, with gratitude and pride, I hereby award and present the customary academic insignia for the degree of Doctor of Laws honoris causa to Dr. Bob Hope.
It is a pleasure to present for the address to the graduates, Dr. Leslie Towns Bob Hope.
Thank you very much. President Father Redland, Very Reverend Fathers, faculty, graduates, congratulations. I just want to make a few comments. I will not forget Noble Nose soon. But I must say that we are very, very happy to be here at St. Bonaventure and very lucky to find it. We were led here. We came in from Memphis, Tennessee last night, where we did a show for the St. Jude's Hospital for Danny Thomas. And we thought it would be a good idea to fly in last night, which we did, and we were met at Bradford by Father Crispin McGuire and Father Welsh, and guided here by a few Indians, and also directed by Deer. And we never realized how beautiful this place would be in the daytime, and it is gorgeous. And also, I am a little startled by the air. It's so clear. Being from Los Angeles, I don't trust air that I can't see. But you must know how thrilled we are and delighted to receive these awards. I'm very thrilled to be a doctor of law because law students are doing so well these days, especially in the White House. And I just wondered if this means an invitation to the wedding. And of course, I'm thrilled that Dolores and I both received degrees because colleges are doing everything co-ed these days. And it's just what we wanted, his and hers diplomas. Now, me being a doctor of laws and my wife a doctor of letters, now maybe together we can understand Bill Buckley. But I'm especially glad that you did give Dolores a degree, because it's so difficult conversing with one's inferiors. Now, in my family, there's complete equality. Whoever gets in the bathroom first uses the false eyelashes. And, of course, you heard that Dolores is a Catholic laywoman, and she really is. She's very ecumenical. She allows me to appear at all her Catholic affairs. Allows me. I turned her down once, and she lit a candle for me under the chair I was sitting on. I don't know how many Catholic affairs she's got me involved in, but I can check back and see how many times my car has been raffled off. I wouldn't say my home is overly religious, but it's the only one I know that has a sleep-in priest. Any hour of the day or night, I can dial his room and get a recorded message of comfort. But don't get the idea that I live in a shrine. All I know is in the last earthquake, all the animals in the neighborhood lined up at my window, two by two. But it's nice to be here, and they tell me that for almost 110 years that this university has been under direction of the Franciscan friars. That's almost as long as I've been a member of the Hollywood friars. Now, I saw a bunch of Franciscans running to their classes yesterday morning. The priest in the lead turned to the others and shouted, "Last one there is a Jesuit." And I understand that Franciscans are a proud order. Father Welsh gave Dolores a medal with the inscription, "I am an important Catholic. In case of an accident, please call a bishop." On the serious side, if that wasn't serious enough, Mrs. Hope and I are thrilled to be here today, and we're deeply grateful for these honors. To you people who are graduating, who are about to go out and make this a better world, all I can say is, hurry. There's a lot of work to be done. In other years, young graduates were going out to face the real challenge, struggling for a living in the hard, cold world. But that's all changed. Now, if you can battle your way through college, the rest is a cinch. Some of you will go on to be doctors. Some of you will become lawyers. I'll be watching for your shows on television. Now, I got a great look. I got a great look at all the faces as they came up here to receive their diplomas and their good-looking faces. And I'd just like to add that your eager faces give me hope. You're the future of America and a guarantee that America has a future. I've been to a lot of colleges and universities around this country, and I've met a lot of the students, and most of them are bright, they're hip, and they're conscious of their responsibilities to this country. You see very few of them on television demonstrating, occupying buildings, or trying to disrupt the normal routine of a university. The others, though they make the most noise, they're the minority. And I don't think they're going to provide many of our future leaders. They say this is a difficult time to be young, but I suspect there never was a time when it wasn't. Surely the men who started this whole thing, who put this country in business, lived in a difficult time, but they fashioned a wonderful tool for coping with it. It's called our Constitution. And the principles of freedom and justice for all that it delineates have been a torch guiding us wisely down the years. Not that it has always been absolutely right, for those good men who fashioned it knew that the need for change would arise, and they built in the mechanism for that change. And it's done not done with a bottle of gasoline or dynamite. It's done with peaceful dissent and the will of the majority, a pathway which has often been spoken of with pride as the American way. You've all come a long way, but you have a long way to go. This is just the beginning. But what you've learned will never die. You can make yourself live on for a mighty long time in the hearts and minds of those who know you by passing on the flame of love and knowledge to all with whom you come in contact. It's a big order to fill, but I'm sure you'll meet that challenge. So I thank you once again for this honorary doctorate of law. The law is the conscience of society, the glue that keeps it together. And we'd better gain a new respect for the law and keep it alive and viable for changing times and new problems. Because if there was ever a time when Americans needed to live, to laugh, and to pull together, it's right here and right now. We need people with courage, patience, tolerance, and understanding. And a person can have that no matter what his age or his hairstyle. Too many of us think a good kid is one who agrees with us or who wears his hair the same length as we do. These kids are a little different than we are. They don't even think swallowing goldfish is fun. You look under any long haircut and you will see a person, and that's still our greatest national product. In these days, of ping-pong diplomacy, I just wish you good luck, and you'll need it, because we're the establishment now, but believe it or not, you're going to be the establishment tomorrow. We're going to leave you with a few problems we haven't had much luck with, things like crime in the streets, pollution, inflation, disaffected minorities, and you can blame us all you want, but you're going to have to deal with it. And you can't do it just by doing your own thing or by turning on or even through love, wonderful though that is. And before you know it, your kids will be asking you why they have trouble breathing, why are the streets unsafe at night, why are people still going hungry, how are you going to answer them? You're going to tell them you were too hip to be bothered, that most problems were for the straights and the squares? You got to think about that. And let me say, there's nothing terrible about being square, because the squares are the ones who make the clothes, bake the bread, build the houses, and even make the motorcycles. The squares are your parents who made it possible for all of you to be grabbing these honors here today. But I've enjoyed talking to all the young people I've met today. And in the past 30 years, I've talked to a lot of our young Americans all over this world. I've seen some great Americans fighting, suffering, and making the supreme sacrifice so we could enjoy moments like this. And I hope that this undeclared war that we're trying to wind up will be the last we ever have to endure. I want to tell you, there's no glamour to war. I don't need a hand-painted picket sign to tell me that war stinks. I've smelled it. I've smelled it in the burn wards of combat hospitals. And it's a picture you don't forget. I've seen it, too much of it firsthand, and I pray that it will end soon. I may be an optimist, but I believe I see a better world emerging out of our turmoil, and I think it will come without either the extremism of revolution or repression. The young will always want to be heard, And we must listen because much of what they say has validity. And as they assume the responsibilities of governing at an earlier age, I believe they will also come earlier to wisdom in governing. And I wish for them what I wish for myself, that we give our hearts and our minds to the service of the brotherhood of man throughout the world. It's either that, my friends, or back to the trees. And I know that St. Bonaventure has armed you with the kind of education you will need in this complex but beautiful world, and I'm sure you'll make the most of it. God bless you, and thank you very much.
The following telegram, addressed to Dolores and Bob Hope, has been received from Beverly Hills, California. Congratulations to a most deserving couple. I trust Bob will carry his degree with appropriate dignity. Signed, Bing Crosby.
Isn't that amazing? It's collect.